Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 21st edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Abhay Singh. He is a soccer-loving physician at St. Mary's Hospital in Lewiston, and he will share his story, which started in India, and tell us about his life's work, as well as his soccer team he organizes with players from all over the world. So, welcome to New Mainers Speak.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. You are originally from India, and I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about the region of the country where you grew up, and what life was like for you there as a child.
Sure. My family is from central part of India. It's an agrarian society, agriculturally based, and for several generations, my family has been in farming until my father and my father's older brother decided to go to college. That was the first generation. And me and my sisters, they are the second generation into education.
Were you from a large urban community, or how did your family life look?
I grew up in a fairly good-sized town, capital of Bihar, Patna. And my family always had ties with the village. So I saw both growing up, extended family, and very tight, cohesive. So I had a lot of supports growing up, and I still do consider myself lucky.
How large was your extended family that you lived with?
Oh, God. My father, my father's older brother, and their six sisters. And we have an important festival called Holi, you know, in the month of late February, March. And we have a large house in the village, and everybody, all my aunts and their spouses, their children, and we will all spend our Holi festival in the village. So practically I grew up with several uncles, aunts, my own siblings, cousins, and we continue to be close.
Were you all under one roof, or lived just on the same street, or how did that look?
No. What happens is, you know, the girls get married and they go to their respective families. But we all got together. And the reason was my father's older brother. He was the leader of the family, first one to go to college, very smart man, and an accomplished mathematician. He did accounts for the whole state. And a very kind and respected person. So he was the anchor, and everyone galvanized around him, including my father and us. And he has been one of the most important role models for everyone in my family, including my father.
Is he still alive?
No, he passed a long time ago. But he lives because of his teachings and guidance he provided to the whole family.
Do you have some kernels that you take away that when you think of them, you attribute to him? Some kernels of wisdom?
I think my core values come from my mother, who was the backbone of my family. And of course, my father and his older brother, my uncle. And sometimes I find myself thinking just like they did. So it's hard to say, but I would say, you know, I see a lot of their reflection in my day-to-day thinking and life.
It's a beautiful way to put it.
Thank you.
And India became its own country not too long before you came along. You came into a young India, is that right?
Yeah, and India is very ancient. Even the name India is very recent. It used to be Indus Valley Civilization. You know, Indus comes from Sindhu, a province nowadays in what we call Pakistan. But India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Burma, they were all one region, Indus Valley Civilization. And very ancient culture, just like some of the people from Iraq you see on my team. They come from a very old civilization as well that grew in the region of Tigris River Valley. So India is ancient. Yes, I was born in Free India. British left in 1947. After that, India went into, you know, more... first off, you know, the partition of, between India and Pakistan was one of the most tragic events in the history. It was like Holocaust. Millions lost their life in in the transition. So India went through social reorganization, a little bit of industrialization. It started right after independence.
I actually was thinking about South Sudan and its new independence when I was looking into India and noticing that right after you became independent, there was this eruption of violence. And I wonder how often that's the case as people settle into new roles.
The most traumatic violence Indian region went through was around partition of India and Pakistan. But it's a resilient society. People got over it.
It's ancient for a reason, right?
Yes.
You have to
yes.
be able to get over and move on to continue to exist.
Yes. There are, universally accepted value systems. And that helps you. In times of, calamity, scarcity. So the society moved on, and then most of the India still is agriculturally based. You know, growing up, I saw about 70-80% population in villages. I was lucky enough to experience some of that in my own family because of my family's ties with the village. We still do. And it's not just the tie with a region. It's a tie with, you know, an ancient culture. You know, tie with people.
Do you miss that, being here?
Yes and no. I'll tell you the reason. Geographic separation can be important. It's not that important for me. People I love, they live in my heart. And I think about them every day. If you confine your affection to a handful of people, that's a setup for misery down the road. So the idea is to open up to an average Joe you meet in the street and be equally respectful and loving. Everyone that comes your way, you happen to bump into everyone around you. So it's like opening yourself up, and that helps with not suffering.
When, by practicing compassion, loving everyone around you,
yes,
you don't miss the people dear to your heart as much in the same way.
Yes, it gives you a sweet nostalgia when you think about your loved one who are geographically away, but it doesn't cause pain.
That's a very interesting strategy. I hadn't heard that one. I like it a lot.
Well, you know, it's a matter of practicing in daily life.
Speaking of practicing, I understand that you were raised in a Hindu tradition.
Yes.
And I wonder how that practice affects your life today.
Well, you know, Hinduism is not actually a religion. It's a way of life laid down by, you know, thinkers and philosophers in Indus Valley region. You know, one of the books Houston Smith wrote, he is a retired professor from UPenn, he's an authority on religions. And he writes that if you are a Hindu, you are free to practice whatever you want, and you are free to be whoever you want to be. It's so open and liberal. Coincidentally, we have over 300,000 deities, and you can take your pick, your role model. So that openness, I was lucky to be born in a, you know, agriculturally based extended family with, you know, Hinduism as guiding principle. However, you know, that's not the only way. And as I grew, I met with people from other faiths, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and they all appeal to me equally. They all have such beautiful elements. Religion per se, you know, confines you, you know.
Maybe puts, just like loving just your family.
Yes, you know, puts you in a box. And what I find emancipating is following the good elements, no matter where they are coming from. So I can say I was born in a Hindu family. I belong to all faiths now. Hmm. I like it that way.
You can connect to everyone, everywhere.
It helps.
When did you start becoming aware that you might not be living in India all of your life?
I don't know. My coming to the United States, I don't consider that my decision. And I can't tell you discreetly how it happened. I can tell you broadly that a lot of my, you know, good friends who were already here, and these are my, you know, trusted friends, my siblings. I say brothers from another mother. They influenced me. Some of my own perceptions and values growing up also played a key role. It was a combination of factors. I can't put my finger on any one thing.
Mm-hmm. When did you start taking English?
English is part of a school curriculum in India, most parts of the India. So you learn basic grammar, vocabulary, syntax. What you don't learn growing up in India, in most places, is practicing English at home. because still in my household, the main language that is spoken in is Hindi, you know.
Here in the U.S. too?
Yes.
You speak Hindi with your wife and children?
I try to. My kids respond in English because they grew up here and that's their language. My wife and I, we talk in Hindi most of the time.
You are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. And if you're just joining us, welcome. Today, I'm visiting with Dr. Abhay Singh, originally from India now, a physician in Lewiston at St. Mary's Hospital. So I know you have a passion for your work, and you're always learning and growing in your personal and professional worlds, but I would love to talk for a few minutes about what you do in your spare time, your co-ed soccer team called The Saints.
Thank you for bringing this up. As you know, work is an important, but small dimension of your life, of who you are.
Just a piece, a small dimension, yeah.
And I think of five dimensions of my life. Number one is faith, not necessarily religion, but what you believe in. Number two is family. Number three, friends. Those are the three top dimensions of my life. And then comes football, called soccer in the U.S. And last but not the least is function, work. So those are the five important dimensions that I see of my life. Five F's.
Five F's. I like it. You five pillars kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, really broken down into a thoughtful pattern. So when did the soccer team get started? How did it come to be a soccer team in Portland?
Well, Portland, as you know, is, you know, one of the most diverse places in Northeast. I hear that there are 48 languages spoken in Portland area now. I always loved soccer growing up. You know, makes me happy every time to think about it, to be on the pitch, on the sideline, you know, yelling, screaming at my teammates. And I played up until high school, but then once you get in college and medical school, it ruins a lot of your recreational activities. So when I settled down in Maine in my job at St. Mary's, decided to put together a team. So I went to a bunch of my friends, colleagues at St. Mary's, and we started a team called St. Mary's United. That was 5 or 6 years ago. And people came and went, and slowly people from outside St. Mary's, you know, began showing interest in our team. And besides being a decent player, a very important criteria for our team is you have to be a good person and a kind person who is respectful to the teammates and the other teams. That's the number one criteria. And
no wonder you're called the Saints.
I simplified St. Mary's United was a long name. So I said, okay, just Saints. And I can tell you truly, most people on my team, I see sainthood in them. You know, they are giving people, you know, they support each other, help each other. I have seen my teammates helping strangers on a daily basis. And I feel extremely lucky to be part of this group. I love my team.
You're a big part of the group, as I understand. You're kind of the organizing force. And how many cultures and languages do you have going on your team?
Oh, God, I think 8 or 9 languages. We have people from, you know, Iraq, Iran, Burundi, Rwanda, various parts of Iraq itself is, you know, very diverse. People from Nasiriyah till Baghdad. And a lot of, it's a co-ed team. Most of the girls are from here, multi-generational Americans. But then some of them come from Germany, some of them have French heritage, some Irish heritage. You know,
just a matter of when your people arrived.
Right. Yeah. So, extremely diverse team. And some people, some of my friends call it Team Benetton.
Well, your team plays with a passion and a joy. When I watched them, it was a delightful experience for me, not even knowing any of the members, each being able to bring his or her joy to together with brothers and sisters to make something special for themselves.
I think you sensed the right thing. You know, we play for love. And one of my friends, Larry, on the team, he's from Rwanda. He calls it Kuchezu Kama Pendano, means play for love in Swahili. And it is really, Kuchezu Kama Pendano. We go out there, you know, we show up, and it's a unquestioned supportive stance. We work hard for each other. We fight for each other. And there is an unsaid camaraderie that goes on, and the operating force, of course, is love and respect for each other. And it's so liberating. You forget, you know, your day-to-day mundane duties and stress associated with that. You forget how many bills are unpaid and, you know, how many, you know, how much undone work there is.
Sport is good for that, being completely present.
And the other thing that has happened to many of my teammates, especially older ones like me, is it has helped our health. You know, everybody is more fit now. You know, we are able to, you know, hike, run. And so it's good for body, it's good for soul.
Extra benefits, absolutely. Your story reminds me of another story, and I wondered if you have ever read Outcasts United by Warren St. John.
I have heard about it, but seems like, you know, another Team Benetton in Atlanta, Georgia area.
Absolutely.
Just like the Saints.
Luma Moufle was from Lebanon. She went to Smith College, and when she was out of college, she was down in Atlanta running a shop that didn't inspire her, and she was out driving and saw people playing soccer the way she'd played as a child. And she went over and asked if she could play and brought a ball, and they let her play. And she from there organizes a team, but she also helps that team integrate health in a healthy way into the culture that's hosting, that really didn't know what to do with them. And soccer was just the language they all spoke. With all these different languages on the team, soccer was the universal language. And I find her such an inspiration, and I just love that it's going on right here in Portland, too. I know there are other leagues as well, right, where whole teams of people from different cultures play each other down around the Back Bay, is that right?
Yes. You know, we play there in summer months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just people come out and, you know, form into two teams and play.
Do spectators like me come just to watch?
Absolutely. Everybody is welcome.
Because the level of play is really quite high.
Yes. Because, you know, these people came from football playing nation. They grew up with a soccer ball in their street playing all the time. And it's really exciting to see them just, you know, that don't even, you know, can't communicate through language. It's higher than language.
Mm-hmm.
They communicate on the soccer field through their heart.
Through their hearts, and playing with that love.
Kuchezu kama pendano in Swahili.
When I was sitting with your friend and watching the Saints play soccer, he said that he thought you were his most shining example of a patriot. And he admired your mind, your work, your family, and your commitment to the community. Basically, I think he was seeing the compassion and humility that you bring to everything you do. And I had no problem seeing just what he meant, because as he was telling me this, one of your teammates asked for your shirt. So you peeled your shirt off your body and gave it to him. And I thought, okay, well, this is a man who truly would give you the shirt right off your back. And you're a lovely person. And I am sure glad that Maine was qualified as a rural residency site so we could get you. I think we're lucky to have you here.
I feel the same way. You know, the people I live with, spend my day-to-day life, sheer luck. Sometimes, you know, I wonder, I think aloud, I ask my friends, you know, how did I get so lucky? That's how I feel.
Maybe that's the key to your success. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Abhay Singh. You have been listening to New Mainers Speak, and we will close today's program with a Pakistani musician named Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan playing, please help me here, Nitkar Manga Sonia.
It's one of the Sufi songs.
Great. We'll look forward to hearing that. And then please stay with us. Cruz del Sur will be up next right here on WMPG.
ਖੈਰ ਮੰਗਾਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਦਮ ਦੀ